Now, I'm going to be reading the scripture in the midst of the message. So I'm going to start right in with the message. And you probably have noticed, or maybe, that's right, you don't have a bulletin. This message has the shortest title I've ever used. Three letters. One. One. Now, remember the fingers? What's the most important finger? Thumbkin. That's right. Thank you very much. The thumb. So we're going to do a little countdown this morning with the five fingers on the theme of one. One. Are you ready? Now, one has a very strong challenger. And that challenger is the number two. And two is part of the problem that we have as a people, as individuals, as a nation, and as a world today. Two. Why is two a problem? Because anytime you have two, you have a struggle. Think, for instance, Steelers and Browns. We call that a football game. A football game is a contest between two teams, one of which will have to eventually win, right? Think about the words new and old. Which is better? Obviously, we think new is better than old. Who wants an old car when you can have a new car? Or think about warm and cold. Well, of course, this is a pretty warm day, but I think we'd rather be a little bit warm than chilly. Think about up and down. We actually use up and down not only as a way that the elevator goes, but we use it for an emotional description of ourselves. If I'm up, I'm feeling happy, positive. If I'm down, I'm blue and glum. Think of right and left. Now, of course, the last name is Wright, but it has nothing to do with the right I'm talking about. This is right and left. I remember when I was in high school, I took 2 years of Latin. And one day we were taught the two Latin words for right and left. The word for right in Latin is, anybody know? Dexter. Remember, we used to have a parishioner here by the name of Dexter. David Dexter, he actually operated on me, did a wonderful thing for my body. That's the Latin word for right. What is the Latin word for left? Sinister. Is that not prejudiced or what? So anytime you have the number two, you have a built-in conflict. The answer to two is one. I call two the tyranny of two because it sets up a conflict or a contest between persons, nations, teams, individuals, churches, whatever. And the way to solve that conflict is to embrace the number one. We have a favorite game called Uno. I believe Uno is the Spanish word for one. So if any of you have a Spanish background or know the Spanish language, I'm talking not about one, but about uno. Uno. One. There's only one number like number one. Now we're going to count down those five fingers because there's five ways in which one affects our lives. We're going to start with pinky, number five. We have one life to live. Now, at my tender old age, I have an interesting perspective on my life and on life in general. I'm much more aware of the meaning of the one life that God has given me than I was when I was a teenager. Now, the trouble with wisdom is it's typically given to old folks and not so much to young folks. But I'm talking to all of you, including the children. We have only one life to live. And God intends for us to live that one life the best we can, to make the most of it, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Now, a good example of that is Bob Rogers, who presided this morning. I was present at Bob's wedding, a beautiful wedding, and the reception. Thank you, Bob. And Bob has decided, and his wife and their children, they've decided to invest themselves in this congregation. They could go anywhere. Bob's a very talented person, a very handsome person. He could go anywhere and be successful, but he and they have chosen to invest their lives here with us, and we're very, very grateful for that. That's an example of what I'm talking about. We only have one life to live. How are you going to live it? Are you going to just try to make a lot of money and be famous, or are you going to really invest your life not only in your own well-being, but in the well-being of others? That's the pinky, number five. Number four is a little harder to understand. There is one church. I think Bob knows what I'm going to say next. The United Methodist Church is in the process of splitting. It's something like a divorce would be in a family. We've been arguing for many years over a variety of subjects, but the main subject is homosexuality. And we've decided it's in such an important subject that we're going to actually split the church over it. Now, you can tell from my comment that I don't agree with that. We are the United Methodist Church, not the divided Methodist Church. Unfortunately, there are many people on both sides of the issue who think it's more important to be pure than to be one. Enough said. Number three, the tall one. One nation. Repeat with me the Pledge of Allegiance, even though the flag is not present. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Now, three times in the pledge, we speak of one. One nation under God, there's only one God, as you'll find out, indivisible. The Civil War was partly fought over the desire of part of our nation to separate itself from the rest of us. That is not possible. We live in one nation. The penny that I gave all of you, if you look at the what we call the reverse in coin collecting, the obverse is the picture of Lincoln, or I guess it's a Lincoln. Yes, it's Lincoln. And on the reverse of that coin is a picture of the Lincoln Memorial. Is that right? I don't even have my penny here. Somebody didn't give me a penny. Thank you, Bob. Let's see what that penny has on it. Oh, it's a shield. Oh, they got rid of the Lincoln Memorial. Oh, okay. But I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the words on the back of your penny. How much is this penny worth? 1 cent. One. You can't get any smaller than 1 cent. But look at the other saying on the shield. E pluribus unum. My 2 years of Latin in high school are finally paying off. E pluribus unum means from many, one. We live in one nation. This country does not have red states and blue states. It has United States. This country is one nation under God, indivisible. This nation, it's more important for us to understand this nation is one than to understand this nation as two or others. We fought a civil war over that issue. And the Union prevailed. Not the Union, really. What prevailed was the unity of our nation. And the sin of division that was healed by the victory of the Union and the reuniting of the United States of America. So every time you look at a coin or say the pledge, remember we are one nation under God. Number four, the pointer finger, one world. I grew up during the Second World War. I remember the Second World War visit. It's an indelible in my spirit and my memory. I followed the battles of the Second World War. I had friends whose fathers were in World War II, in the armed services. It's a painful part of my childhood, World War II. That's something that I don't think anybody else here can share with me. God forbid that we ever have World War III, but you know what's keeping us from World War III? What is often called the terror of the nuclear war. We are so afraid that if we use nuclear weapons on another country, that they would do the same to us. And since 1945, we have not had a worldwide conflagration, and God, we hope that we never do have one. But one of the reasons we haven't had World War III is because we understand more and more that we live in one world. Another way that we've learned to live in one world is something that some of you know I'm not too familiar with, but I know something about it, the internet. The internet has tied this world together in a way that was unimaginable for me as a young person. I just can't believe it. I've got a son living now in Reno, Nevada, and I can talk to him like he's right across the street. It's hard for me to understand that. And we have a daughter who lives in Texas who bought a house in Erie, and they closed on that house from Texas. I always thought you had to come and be present at a closing for a house. No, not anymore. So you see what I mean? It's one world. Climate change has made us realize we're all in this together as a world. We no longer have the luxury of isolating ourselves from other nations or other peoples or other beliefs. We are all in this together. That's our pointer finger. Lastly, the thumb. Anybody know what the thumb stands for? We're in church, after all. One God. You knew it. I can tell you knew it by the look on your face. One God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is during the Exodus experience with Moses. These are the words God gave to Moses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know, Judaism and Christianity and Islam are unique among world religions because we teach that there's only one God. All the other religions teach some sort of conflict between the gods, which somehow involve us in that same conflict. But Judaism under Abraham and Christianity and Islam have taught from their beginnings that there's only one God, which it itself unifies the human family. That's why our Pledge to Allegiance says, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, it's impossible to avoid conflict. It's kind of fun when it's a golfer's on the course, or when it's football teams on the field, or when we're playing cards with each other. Conflict can have its own short-term rewards, but conflict is not something built into the human experience. The most important thing about human experience is one. One life, one church, one nation, one world, one God. Let us pray. Lord, may this message bore deep into our spirits. May it change not only the way we think, but the way we behave. May it make us more and more your people, following your Holy Spirit in our lives. This humble prayer we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.